latest recording of the Here's Johnny podcast. It feels, Justin, like it's been a while since we sat down and recorded an entire fresh episode on a Thursday night.
And just the two of us, too.
It's been a long time. Obviously, we first want to say thank you to all of our guests who came on during the summer mini-season. John Tagg, That's Not How Science Works podcast, Whitney, Rachel, the Zombie Girls podcast. Like, it was a very, very hectic month, but I thought it was really fun content, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of stuff that kind of got brought up, kind of not last, I don't want to say last minute, but we weren't planning for, but mm-hmm. You know, me missing Midsummer, John Tagg coming on. You know, I don't know. I actually really enjoyed that.
You on vacation, a solid vacation for 2 weeks almost.
Oh God, it was nice.
Off the grid kind of vacation. And I think we have some news. You are engaged for real this time, right?
Yeah. So, my fiance now and I, we've been together for 7.5 years. And when we first got together, we pretty much eloped. And I don't know, I decided to get off my lazy ass and do the damn thing for real. So yeah, we climbed a mountain and
I saw the pictures, I was impressed.
Yeah, it was it was hard. Yeah, I don't know, we've both been kind of like exercising and stuff lately, so we decided to push ourselves. It was like a 2-hour hike. Oh, damn. Up. Yeah, it was
that's no joke, man.
Yeah, and the bugs were horrible. But yeah,
that's one thing I've been very thankful about out here in Utah with the mountains and hikes we've been going on.
Yeah.
Outside of going to the Great Salt Lake and all the midges, which was disgusting, there really aren't that many bugs.
Yeah. Oh, it was weird, man. Like the top obviously had no bugs because it was so high up. But mm-hmm. like when you got down to the bottom, like there was a swamp at the bottom and it was like it was very dense with trees, so there wasn't a lot of sun getting through, so it was just like it was mosquito and like black fly hell. It was gross. Worst. Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
from
you.
Me and I hope hopefully from our audience. That's awesome. Two kids later, you finally got around to it, so I mean
yeah,
you did do it.
Doing things a little out of order over here, but you know.
So like I said, it's been a solid month since we sat down to record. I have two questions for you. One, have you seen Midsummer yet?
No, it's like I still can't find it like anywhere.
It expanded after that first weekend. It actually came to the theater that's like right by my apartment.
Oh, really? Oh, man. So funny story. I actually have to drive 2 towns over to even see, well, something that we're
about to reveal in a little bit.
Yeah.
Man, Canada is awful. Then the next question, and most importantly, what's been new with you in the last month, man? What games you've been playing? Oh, what books? What damn. Movies? What's going on?
Okay. All right. Well, I'll start recently because
okay.
that's
work
stuff I remember.
Back.
Yeah. My computer died last week.
Yes.
Right after I edited the John Tagg review, actually, the next day. Luckily, I had the forethought to back up everything.
So well, you had an issue before that, before your computer died. You ran out of an SD card and had to emergency order one from Amazon?
Oh, yeah, just to edit that episode because just the way we record interviews. I record myself off a recorder and then I just record the Skype audio. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so I had no access to any of my files on that SD card, which we had another interview on that
will be revealed shortly.
Yeah. And oh, that was my biggest fear when my computer died. It was like, holy crap, like we have this other interview. And it was like, it was such a fun interview to do. And I would hate for one of the episodes I would hate myself, really, if one of the episodes we lost was an interview.
Well, it's happened before, remember?
No.
Our lost Trick or Treat episode.
Oh my God, you're right. Well, yeah, that was for other reasons, but
yeah,
that was for webcam audio reasons, but yeah, so I had to pretty much rebuild my computer from the ground up, which was grueling, and I was not looking forward to all that money being spent. What else? Damn.
So that's the negatives, and that sucks, but you got it fixed. So let's start with games. What games have you beaten in the last month?
So I actually don't think I've beaten a game, but I have started like 6 games.
Jeez.
So Fire Emblems came out on Switch. Been playing that. That's, you know, JRPG, you know, whatever. Hot damn. Oh, Layers of Fear.
Yes, you mentioned that.
And I have played an hour of it. I have realized that I cannot play that game with headphones.
That bad?
It is one of the scariest games I have played.
Fun.
And all right, cool. Apparently it just gets worse.
And there's a sequel that just came out, right?
Yeah, I haven't really heard too much about the sequel, but I mean, it's the guys who are doing the Blair Witch game, so...
That bodes well.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of why I wanted to go check it out. I do have the sequel as well. I want to try to beat them kind of just before Blair Witch comes out, just so I can get an idea of what they have going into, like...
You got 22 days, no big deal.
Oh my god. Yeah, well, and, I mean, so many games are coming out. what else have I played? Dragon Quest Builders 2. It's like Minecraft, but Dragon Quest. I don't know. It's fun. I like it. I don't know. I feel like there's something else, but...
Okay, that's fine. That's your games. How about movies? What movies have you been checking out? Obviously, you skipped Midsommar.
Yes.
Your loss, but...
I watched Happy Death Day to You.
Okay.
It was okay.
How did you like the time loop stuff?
Eh, I like the first one better. The first one was a lot more fun. Although, you know what? The first time I saw the first one, I absolutely hated it.
Really?
Yeah, I think I was just expecting like a more gruesome movie. I didn't realize it was rated like
PG-13. Yeah, well, that's not what that movie is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it still are. I just don't think that's what the movie was.
Oh. Yeah, it was just weird. Like, there was like, I don't know. It was too jokey. I was expecting serious the first time I saw it. So.
Sure.
Second time I saw it was a lot better. I started watching the first season of American Horror Story because I've never seen it.
My second favorite season. For those who don't know, I wrote a blog post actually about ranking my...
That was pretty early on in the blog post, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had just finished watching Cult, and Apocalypse hadn't come out yet.
Well, I'm really excited. I'm only one episode in still, but I am really excited for the upcoming season.
Yes, we will announce some stuff about that at the end of this episode, so stick around.
Oh, yeah. and I guess the last thing I can say is, so when I was on vacation, I brought my PS4 to when we were in hotels and stuff, just to hook up to like Netflix or something, to have something to watch at night.
Sure.
The way the internet works on PS4 is weird. Previously, I brought the Xbox and it hooked up perfectly fine. But for some reason, it wouldn't hook up to the PS4, so I had to tether through my phone and use up pretty much all my data. But because of this, I went into town, which was like an hour away, and I bought a Twin Peaks box set.
Oh, nice.
Well, except for I didn't realize that it was season 3.
Oh, of Twin Peaks. Have you seen 1 and 2, though?
I've seen 1. I haven't seen 2. So this kind of... I only realize this because... I mean, you can tell when something is shot now, well, a year or two ago versus being shot back in, like, the 80s or early 90s, or I forget when the first season of Twin Peaks was. But so that led me on a down an eBay rabbit hole trying to find the first season. So I'm currently waiting my season 1 and season 2 and made-for-TV movie box set coming from eBay. Hopefully that'll be here in the next couple days. And
nice.
I'll just be in a Twin Peaks hole. That's it, though, I think. Okay. Like, what about you? Like, what movies, games, life events?
So, if you guys... I know you didn't listen to it, but I went into this a little bit in detail when Rachel was on. I had been having a hell of a time getting into video games.
You've been mentioning to me, like, in the Discord and everything, you've been talking about it.
It's just been, like, I don't know. Like, I just can't get into anything, and nothing even piques my interest. So, after talking to Dev, like, she had a really good suggestion. She said, just go back to what you like.
Is this when I was talking to you about playing Pokemon Blue?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It was at the same time. So, I got the Pokemon Silver, game on the 3DS.
Yeah.
Technically, I beat it. I have all 16 badges, but I don't consider that beat until you beat Red.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm currently grinding up to get that. My team is very Giovanni-esque. I have Nidoking and Nidoqueen. I got a Feraligatr, Slowking, and a Crobat.
Okay.
Currently trying to save up my coins so I can buy a Porygon to get Porygon too.
So are you going to Pokemon bank anything and kind of bring it up to the next
gen? So I did that when I got Red. I don't know if I'm going to or not. I mean, I'm still very much on the fence about Sword and Shield. The latest trailer only put me more on edge. Team Yell is dumber than Team Skull, which I thought was impossible. And I was telling Devin, I think that I might have just aged past Pokemon and not realized it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't remember. The last Pokemon game I played and enjoyed was probably Gold. I never played.
Did you play Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire?
Nope. I never really had like a kind
That's
of
really good. Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire is really good.
Okay, because those were like original DS, right?
It's a remake of the Game Boy Advance Ruby Sapphire games.
Oh, okay, yeah. See, after Game Boy Color, I don't actually think I owned a Game Boy up until the DS. Oh. So,
yeah. All right. So there's that. I picked up Resident Evil 4 for the PS4.
Of course.
Even though I own way too many copies of that game, but I want to get the Platinum. And I actually just killed Krauser.
Oh.
Last night. I've kind of been playing it kind of wonky. I watched a speed run of it, and I was like, oh, I can do this. And I used to mess around. I can't glitch because I'm not on a PC. I'm on my PS4. But I'm like 3 hours in. Which I think is pretty good, but I have like 30 deaths because I've been skipping, like picking up anything. I just keep buying rocket launchers before boss fights and one-shotting them. So I'm kind of afraid to see my rank. And then the other thing is I downloaded my old save file, Final Fantasy X, and I'm just gonna buckle up and get the platinum. I have to do the sphere grids. I have to get the blitzball stuff. I have to do lightning dodges, and that's it.
Oh, you already did, like, all the Chocobo racing, like, the Chocobo. Oh, well,
that's... I beat Penis, I beat Nemesis. The sphere grid's gonna suck, because I did, like, the advanced sphere grid or whatever.
Okay, so
it's bigger. But once you get triple AP weapons, which I just finished grinding for last weekend, it's not that bad. It's just sitting and grinding.
Like, just listening to all that stuff makes me not want to do that, so...
I'm enjoying it, though. I mean, and I'm starting to get back into games, and I finally got my hands on two games that we need for the podcast. Oh, I'm not going to release that now, but they should be here tomorrow, and I'm pretty excited about that. Shout out to Play 8 Games in Columbus, Ohio, for hooking me up, even though I'm 2,000 miles away.
So, how did your After Years playthrough go? Did you ever finish it, or...?
No. I'm halfway through it, and the thing is I liked it. Like, I was enjoying myself. It happens every summer. It happened last summer during the Hog competition.
Yeah.
I stopped playing games and just watched TV. And then also it helps because I'm watching Friends in the Office right now before it gets pulled off of Netflix. So it's really nice. I put my tablet right there, watch that while I'm sitting there grinding out levels or playing Resi 4 because, like, I know that game, like, the back of my hand. Like, I literally, like... It's been years, but I still know where enemies are at on the map and stuff.
Oh, speaking of The Office, anyways, I started watching 30 Rock.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I've never seen it until now.
I love Alec Baldwin. I think he's amazing. I think he is one of the best television characters of all time.
Yeah, it's definitely no, like, Office or any, you know, shows like that. It's definitely not, like... amazing, but it's okay. It's good. It's got its moments. Sorry. Anyways, I forgot.
No, it's fine. And then on to books. I mentioned I read Nosferatu. I finished American Gods. That was great. I read a Brian Jacks book, one of the Redwall books. You know, the little mice.
Yeah.
I read Pearls of Lutra, and now I'm kind of taking a pause because we're going to talk about this here in a minute. We're taking on a pretty big book here soon.
Yes.
So I'm kind of taking a book pause before I dive back into another big one. But that's it. So
I'm gonna make a suggestion to you.
Hit me.
Pick up Layers of Fear. We will get around to it eventually.
I am buying, not only have I bought two games that were way expensive than I thought they were going to be, we're about to buy two new games at the end of the month.
Well, possibly only one.
We'll see. Yeah. But it is in my Steam wish list.
Okay.
So I'll leave it at that.
If it go, it's also on PS4.
Then I'll probably buy it there.
Yes, if it goes on sale, I suggest buying it because holy crap. Like,
but at the same point in time, I would rather review it fresh then. If you're enjoying it that much when we get to the podcast, I really have enjoyed my Silent Hill 2 original reaction to games.
Yeah, and like that's kind of why I think it's taken me so long, because I mean, I started Layers of Fear like a couple weeks ago, and I want to keep playing it because like it's good, it's engaging. But I kind of don't want to, because I want to be fresh when we get into it. But
sure,
I don't know.
Then last thing for movies, I have seen the new Lion King. Ed, just watched the cartoon. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I loved. Oh my gosh, top three Tarantino for me. And then I watched Hush, Flanagan's movie on Netflix.
Okay. Yeah, and
it was okay. In case you guys don't know, I hold Gerald's Game and Haunting of Hill House on a very, very high pedestal. Like, they're kind of special cinematic experiences, in my opinion. Hush is good. It is unique, but I don't think it sniffs the feet of those two. It was still good. Like, I enjoyed it, but like it wasn't those two movies.
Sniffs the feet. Staying with your Tarantino references there.
I was
going to say
jockstrap, but I didn't know if that was like where we stood with that. So that's what we've been up to. Longer than usual. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that, but I don't know. We just kind of thought maybe we'd fill everybody in because we haven't had a chance to do it. Before we reveal what the next season is going to be, make sure you follow us on iTunes, wherever you follow your podcast. Write us a 5-star review or review however you think we should do. Check us out on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Join our Discord. Links pinned on the Twitter tab and on the Here's Johnny website. That's about it. So, Justin.
Yes.
I wrote a blog post. It's coming out on Tuesday.
Okay.
And I went into detail about this, but for the longer story, check it out there. The short story is Justin and I wanted to do witches next.
Yes.
Upon diving into the video game side of witches, there's nothing. And we even went on multiple subreddits just asking people, and we truly found that there's just no witch material.
Which is insane. Like, it's crazy.
Like, there are some who are enemies, but there's none that focus around it. With the exception of three games that were tie-ins to a film very, very close to my heart. So I pitched to you just doing a whole season on it. You were on the fence. You came around on E3.
Yeah.
And in case you guys haven't guessed yet, our next season, which we are entitling for naming purposes, Welcome to Burkittsville, will be dedicated to the Blair Witch Project. So longtime listeners of the podcast, I can say that because we've been on for over a year, know that I have two favorite horror films. One is The Faculty, starring Elijah Wood and Josh Hartnett.
Yep.
And the other is The Blair Witch Project.
Oh, happy podcast birthday. I guess we haven't actually said it yet.
Yeah, but I guess we didn't. Yeah. 1 year together.
Yeah.
I have the effigy on my wall. There are three tattoos that I've never gotten, but I'm very close to getting at any point in time. One is the effigy, one is the umbrella logo, and one is Jack's tattoo on his chest. Wouldn't get it on my chest, I would get a small version of it.
So I will say, with tattoos, just get it. I mean, honestly, I have 8 video game tattoos, and they're all Final Fantasy or Zelda based. Or there's I have a Silent Hill tattoo. I have Pyramid Head on my back.
Yeah, but I mean, I it comes and goes. But so, Blair Witch was a movie that I saw when it first came out when I was a kid because a friend of mine had it. My parents found out I watched it. I got grounded. I think that's what started my whole rebellion counterculture nature, where someone says, don't do this, and I immediately go do that thing. I spent a lot of time out in the woods because my family liked to hunt and liked to do outdoor stuff. So that resonated. I truly thought it was real. I mean, like I said, I was 8, 9 at the time. Like, I thought it was a real thing. And then bringing it into this podcast, out of nowhere, Ben Rock comments on a silly comment we posted on Shudder saying he would come on, and I thought it was him just being nice on social media, and then he DMs us, and I get to talk to one of the guys who created this movie, and not only that, but he hooked us up with other people to interview on this podcast, which things I've never thought we'd be able to do, and it opened up so many doors. So Blair Witch is just, it is something that has been with me for over 20 years now, and it is something that never stops giving. So to do a whole season on the 20th anniversary of the film is something I am very, very happy about.
Yeah, and kind of knowing that that it means so much to you is, I mean, I won't lie, part of the reason why I was like, yeah, sure, why, well, like, why the hell not, right? Like,
yeah.
Myself personally, I actually watched the Blair Witch Project back when piracy was like the cool thing to do. I remember
the years of LimeWire.
it was before LimeWire. I remember my brother coming home with a VHS of Blair Witch Project a month after it came out in theaters, not even.
Oh, wow. Don't tell Ben or Mike that.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm sure they know. but yeah, and I remember him forcing me to watch it. And I thought it was real, but I loved it. I thought it was awesome. It's crazy to think that movie created like the whole found footage craze that, I mean, if you look deep enough, we're still in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hasn't gone away. It's affected the culture. I mean, when I went and saw the 20th anniversary screening at Sundance this year.
Yeah.
Like, Devin and I showed up an hour and a half early to get in line. And thank God we did, because it was standing room only.
Really?
For a midnight showing of a 20-year-old movie. In the middle of January in the mountains of Utah.
That's crazy.
It was insane, and it was so electrifying. That theater was like, it was like seeing a brand new movie. Like, we all knew it. Like, no one was jumping anymore. We knew what happened, right? But it's just crazy that this film made by, for all intents and purposes, a bunch of kids, right?
Yeah.
In movie world parlance, right? Just change the game. And yeah, it's special. So the main topic this episode is to kind of break down what's coming in the coming weeks. It works out because there's other stuff we're going to be doing too. So having a mini season for Blair Witch allows us to kind of bust it up a little bit and fit other stuff in there. So Justin, without further ado, I'm going to just go through what we're doing. In regards to the Blair Witch, the first episode and next week's episode is going to be our interview with Mike Minnello.
The one I thought I lost.
Yes. Mike was the producer on the Blair Witch Project. He's involved in so much more. He created Campfire LLC, and they do a lot of work with HBO. They've worked on stuff like Game of Thrones and things like that. We go into that in great detail. Not only that, he was the original mind behind Video Palace.
Yes.
So we discussed that during the interview. Obviously, we discussed the production and the history of Blair Witch and all that. It was a really, really fun interview, and that's coming to you next week.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. I was actually really surprised at like how open and willing he was to talk about everything.
Yeah, it was a blast recording with him, and it was a lot of fun. The next is, we'll get right to it. We're going to review the original, the one that started it all, the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, it seems fitting. I feel weird that we've already done Book of Shadows, but...
Well, I'm kind of happy we did, because...
Get the crap out of the way.
Yeah, there's not a lot of crap in this. I mean, I guess we don't know on some other things, but like, it should all be good, I think. Yeah. I think it should all be really enjoyable. So, yeah, I think this might dethrone 28 Days Later. I'm not sure where you're going to fall on it, but...
It's been a long time since I've seen the original, so yeah. We'll find out.
We'll see where that goes. The next is we're playing Blair Witch Volume 1, Rustin Parr.
Yeah, this was a hard title to get a hold of. But yeah,
it's an old PC game. And some backstory to this. Justin got a copy of it, got it to work, but he had to use like computer parlance and stuff that I don't understand. He walked me through it.
Yeah.
I couldn't get it to work. I got a hold of a friend of mine who literally does computer like coding for his job. He hosted into my computer, tried to install it, couldn't get it to work. So we're doing something entirely different. We're doing a let's play, and then we're going to review it. So Justin's going to play it. I'm going to watch him and provide commentary while he plays it. We're going to upload those videos to YouTube or Twitch or something like that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
And then we'll review the game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because it's, it's different. It's something we haven't tried, and I don't know, figure why the hell not, right? Like, if that's how we have to do it, we might as well have
fun
with
it. For an old game like this where it's so hard to get a hold of, I think we don't have a lot of options. Following that up, we will be reviewing the 2016 direct sequel to the movie?
Yeah.
Blair Witch. I saw that in theaters, not afraid to admit that I jumped during that movie in the theaters.
I saw it opening weekend.
Me too.
And I have a picture. I'll try to upload it to the, I just have to see if I still have it. So opening weekend, yeah. Saturday night, my fiance and I were the only two people in the theaters. Yep.
It was when I went and saw it, I think it was just me and Devin too, but we went on Thursday though. We went the first showing Thursday.
Okay. No, we went like literally opening weekend. Like,
yeah.
We went to like the 9 o'clock show, the show that usually everybody goes to, and it was just dead.
Huh. Oh, well. So that's what are you going to do about it? And then the last thing we're going to do, we mentioned about E3 pushing Justin over the edge. We are going to review the new Blair Witch game coming to PC and Xbox One.
I am so excited. Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah. We're taking on a brand new Blair Witch game that no one knew about. And when I say no one, I mean Ben and Mike, the creators of this damn universe, had no idea.
Yeah, I mean, even... Well, I won't get into spoil it, our interview, but we do talk
about it. Yeah, we talk about it in the interview with them. So that's kind of what we're doing regardless of Blair Witch. We're also going to have some specials during this season. So for those who've been paying attention, during our zombie season, it kind of got blown out because so much came out during that season.
It was like a 6-month season.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff came out. We ended up doing interviews, and I'm thankful for all of it. The only thing I regret watching is the Pet Sematary remake.
Yeah, that was just... Yeah, anyways.
But you know, besides that, like, it was great. So we kind of have now just allotted for that. And this kind of helps us, you know, like, plan the schedule out. Yeah. So the first thing we're going to be reviewing, and in case you haven't guessed from our show art for the last two, this season and the previous season, we're going to be reviewing, Andre Overdahl's adaptation of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Which I've never heard of it.
Now you have, because I've been... shocked and constantly, but this is a book franchise that this terrified me as a kid. And like, we used to fight over this book in the library. Like, it used to be a competition who could rent it out. And actually, for a 1-year anniversary, I bought Devin a hardbound collection of the original artwork.
Oh, and damn.
It's just crazy that I didn't realize how few people knew about it.
Yeah, I am really interested to see like how it does, because again, like, even people I've talked to don't know. I mean, obviously,
it's getting positive reviews.
Yeah, I mean,
I haven't read anything spoilery or anything, and I'm seeing it Saturday morning.
Well, I will say, Pet Sematary got some good reviews too.
That's my caveat. That was trash. That was garbage. Like, the fact IGN gave that an 8.5 makes me just want to burn the company down because that's ridiculous. The next thing we're going to be doing is, obviously, for anybody paying attention and anybody who loves horror, we all know in September that It Chapter 2 is dropping.
Yes.
So, obviously, we'll be reviewing that. But how can we review Part 2 without getting Part 1 under our belt? So, the week before we review Part 2, we will be reviewing Part 1.
Yeah, it'll just be like an It special.
A two-week sojourn. And then the last kind of special, it's actually a video game new release. It's one Justin's had his eye on. Apparently it has co-op, and I really enjoyed this company's first outing. It's called Man from Medan. It's from the creators of Until Dawn.
Yeah.
And I'm pumped.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much I've decided that if anything comes out by them, I will play it. I know they had a little bit of a weird takeoff from Until Dawn. They had like the VR
shooter. I haven't played it. The only person who I know who has played it said he liked it. So that's all I know.
Well, that's what I've heard too. But I know they had like their big title that everybody was anticipating. I think it's called like The Inpatient. Was really bad apparently.
Okay.
So this looks like they're kind of getting back on track, and I'm really excited. Although we are going to see apparently 2 of these a year.
That makes me nervous.
Yeah, me too. But you know what? If it's half as good as Until Dawn, I'll take it. Until Dawn was amazing.
But if it's half as good as Until Dawn and the same full price, I don't think we'll be reviewing them upon release. Because I got Until Dawn for free. I got it. So the last thing is, Justin and I also want to start kind of creating Patreon content. The content will be Patreon exclusive for a month, and then it will drop for the wider audience on the regular podcast feed. But our first kind of Patreon build-up will be our build-up to Flanagan's Dr. Sleep coming out in November, which I'm very excited about, not only because I like the book, but obviously our podcast is called Here's Johnny. We have kind of a connection to The Shining.
Yeah.
So to build up for that, we decided to look at something Flanagan had done, and then the source material. In August, our Patreon special will be a review of 2017 Gerald's Game, which Flanagan directed for Netflix, starring Carlo Giugino. I've talked about that a lot on this podcast. Justin hasn't seen it yet, and it is still to date the last movie I saw that kept me up after watching it. It's great.
Yeah, that worries me.
So we're going to be reviewing
but
that.
I'm excited.
And then we're going to follow that up in September by reviewing Dr. Sleep, the book.
Yeah, at this point, our patrons might know that we have another
yes,
book under
American
our belt
Psycho.
Already.
We reviewed it.
The specials.
After both, Justin listened to the audiobook, I read it. That's there. Because of the nature of the book, and we read a couple of sections of the text just to kind of like have a discussion about it. It's very graphic if you know what the source material is. If you want to, if like our wider audience wants to hear that, we can release it. it's heavy stuff. That's a weird book.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about releasing it, but yeah, like you said, I don't know. There's some stuff in there that's.
So that's it, guys. That is our Blair Witch season. We kind of have it going until about October, but as always, I'm constantly reaching out to people to collaborate, come on the podcast to review, maybe review something special or to interview. Also, I know Justin wants to get Silent Hill 3 on the schedule at some point. So if I'm able to get my hands on a copy.
Yes, I do.
I am a purist when it comes to collecting games, so I need black label, manual, full disc, or I won't buy it. I know that frustrates Justin, but I also won't buy it on eBay because I like to look at it myself. I view it as collecting.
I understand.
So my
that.
Copies of Silent Hill 1 and Silent Hill 2 are original black label copies. I want to keep that trend going. But that's kind of it. But we have one more special thing before we get into our closing. One of our sister networks.
Yes.
the Wizard Studies podcast. They're really busy, but they wanted to come on and kind of get their name out there, but also help up with content. So we told them we were doing a season dedicated to the Blair Witch. We originally recommended we could review The Witch, of the 2016 film. They watched the trailer and decided that that was too scary for them, which is fair. It was quite a spooky movie. So instead, they recorded a segment on witch trials in the United States, both within the magical world of Harry Potter, but also grounded in real life. So we're going to go ahead and hand it on over to them and let them educate our audience.
Hello, my name is Katie.
And I'm Audrey.
And together we host Wizard Studies Podcast, which is a part of the Kaleidoscope Media Network with Here's Johnny.
We're a Harry Potter podcast, so we're going to talk to you for a bit about the history of witch trials in North America, within J.K. Rowling's Wizarding World, and more broadly in the real world, as part of Here's Johnny's Blair Witch series. So just to get started, we're going to talk a little bit about 17th century history of magic in North America, coming from sources on Pottermore, which is basically J.K. Rowling's website for all things Wizarding World. Witches and wizards came to the New World, along with Muggles, which are non-magic people, around the same time, and many of them came for similar reasons that Muggles did, to escape persecution, either from Muggles or from other magical people. And New World witches and wizards had to be extremely wary of no-mages, which is the American name for non-magical people, because these no-mages were Puritans, and their religion made them quick to accuse each other of witchcraft and very intolerant of suspicious witch-like activity. There was no magical law enforcement in the New World, and thus these group of people called Scours took over. And Scours were wizards from foreign countries who formed a task force that hunted down known criminals and also just innocent wizards and no-mages, and they did this to kidnap these people and then sell them to the magic-fearing no-mages who wanted to persecute them for being witches and wizards and magical people. And as a result of this, many, many innocent people were put on trial for witchcraft and punished, just like we know in real world history with the witch trials and what Katie's about to talk about, which is the Salem witch trials.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna kind of talk about how that played out in like the real world as opposed to the amazing world of J.K. Rowling and Wizarding World.
You're saying magic's not real?
I'll leave that up to, that's not how science works. I'll leave it up to their podcast to talk about whether magic is real or not. I'm not an authority on all things science and magic. So historically, throughout the time of the Salem witch trials in the United States, there around 200 people were accused of witchcraft. And I think something that is sometimes forgotten is that men were actually accused of being warlocks or wizards, as well as just women being accused of witches. It wasn't all women. And then throughout this time, 20 people were said to be executed. 19 of these people were hung because that was kind of what was used as the execution method back then. And then one man was pressed to death with stones because he refused to admit to being a wizard or a warlock or whatever they called male people with magic.
Male witches.
Male witches.
A mitch.
But in Europe throughout the 15th and 17th centuries, there were actually 50,000 people that were executed as witches or wizards in Europe. And they used burning at the stake as a method for execution sometimes. I think it's a lot of times misinterpreted that the United States used like burning witches, but it was actually mostly Europe. Because like I said, 19 of the 20 people that were executed for being witches were actually hung. So we didn't use fire. But even if people in Europe that were accused of being witches were executed not by using fire, they normally burned their bodies as a way to like purify them and make sure the devil didn't get out or whatever they were thinking. And then, so this was kind of like what Audrey was saying. This was used as a parallel on the wizarding world. So there's actually one story. I don't have this written down, so I don't have the name or anything, but there was one witch who actually like turned herself in multiple times as being a witch, or like got caught because she was able to resist the fire, and it like created this like tingling sensation or like tickling sensation that she really liked. So J.K. Rowling definitely pulled on a little bit of history in her construction of, like, the American Wizarding World history. And then, as a result of this, of the Scourers and the punishment that witches received in America, fewer witches and wizards started coming to the real world, so we're back in fictional history, not non-fictional history. So fewer witches and, or more witches and wizards stayed over in Europe, and the magical conquest of the United States, or MACUSA, was founded. Scourers were hunted down and punished by MACUSA, but many of these scourers escaped by fully immersing themselves into nomad communities. And then so some of them married nomads, and then many magical kids were born in these families. So they had a scourer parent and a nomad parent. But they seem to be winnowed out. So basically, scourers killed their young magical children to kind of like cause the magical line for dying off, and they wanted to keep their non-magical children. And this kind of leads to obscurials being made, which is a really complicated thing, so I won't get into that. But if you've seen Crimes of Grindelwald, you know what I'm talking about, or Fantastic Beasts. And then this led a great number of nomad families to strongly believe that magic was real and hated it greatly. So this also kind of fed into the hysteria against witches and wizards.
Yeah, and that can totally be seen in Fantastic Beasts, if anyone has seen it, where there's this character, Mary Lou Barebone, who pretty much knows that magic is real and very against it. Like, she's basically a 20th century Salem witch trial persecutor.
Yeah, it's really bad.
And then all of this history kind of led to very strict magical laws in the United States as compared to Europe and other parts of the world, and it explains the severe persecution of magical people in the U.S.
Yeah, so now here Jenny did ask us to talk a little bit about some horror or scary things. So I'm not really sure if this fits the bill or this is what they were looking for, but we're going to kind of go through some tests that suspected witches were put under to see like if they were really witches or not. So the first of these was called, or is called, the swimming test. Oh, before I start, all of this information came from history.com, and that's actually where I got all of like the real world information. So that's my source on this. So the swimming test, this is when women or men who are suspected of being like witches or wizards, I don't know, wizard sounds not like the correct term, but they were stripped down to their underwear, and then they were tied up, and then they were thrown into a body of water. And then, so their logic, thinking this would prove whether somebody was magical or not, so witches and men were, they were like supposed to have not been baptized and like repel baptism, and so they were supposed to, the water was supposed to reject them. So if they floated, they were found guilty of being a witch, but if they sunk, they were proved innocent, and there was like a rope tied to them so they could be pulled out. But this actually led to a couple accidental drownings. So
not surprising.
Yeah. And then a lot of these you can see where they're easily manipulated, which is also kind of the point. So
right, they're basically just methods for accusing people of being witches and then killing them,
basically.
So the next one is the prayer test, and this is based off the assumption that it was believed that witches could not recite passages from the Bible, and so they made the suspected witches attempt to flawlessly read out passages from the Bible. And if they were messed up at all, they were found guilty. And even if they performed correctly, everybody just said it was a devil's trick and they were still found guilty. So really, there's no way around this. You can't survive this test. And I know I wouldn't be able to do this.
Yeah, basically. If you've ever listened to our podcast, I have a lot of trouble reading stuff out from the book, so I would definitely be found guilty. And then the next one is the touch test. So this is when people accused of being magical would have to touch people that they were believed to be afflicting. So people that were having fits or that were supposedly possessed. So they would have to touch them. And if the person that they touched kind of started to recover from their fit or their possession or whatever, the person would be found guilty. But in one instance, there were these two women that were suspected witches, and there were these two girls that were like victims of their witchcraft. So they were like having fits, and the woman touched them and the girls started to recover, but they actually blindfolded them after like a little bit, and they were still having their fit, and they had other people touch them. And they actually started to get better, even though it wasn't the women who that they were accused of being, who they were accusing of being witches, but the two women were hanged anyways. So basically they proved that these two girls were lying and just trying to get these people, these two women accused, but they still hung them anyways.
Common theme.
Yeah.
And then the next one is witch cakes. So this is a little bit different. Witch cakes were this supposedly supernatural dessert, and it was supposed to identify suspected witches, like any of these tests. And witch hunters would take a sample of the victim's urine and mix it with rye meal and ashes and then bake it into a cake. So that sounds delicious. And then they fed that cake to a dog, and the dogs are supposed to be familiars or animal helpers of the witches, which I think is kind of interesting because we see like the term familiar in the Harry Potter series a little bit too. And the dog, they hoped that the dog that was fed the cake would then reveal the witch's name after it ate the cake. So I don't know, is it supposed to make the dog speak talk? Like, that seems like witchcraft to me. it seems a little like reversal of the roles. But then another interesting fact about this is that during the lead up to the Salem witch trials, one of the slaves in the community, Tituba, she helped prepare a witch cake to identify who was responsible for bewitching Betty Paris and other young girls. And the witch cake failed. And then later in the Salem witch trials, the persecutor or the like witch hunters used Tituba's knowledge of this remedy and like various spells and stuff to say that she was a witch. So they like, she was trying to help them, and then they turned around and went against her. Which, from my knowledge, like from my what I remember from the Crucible and like my junior year of high school American literature class, this seems about right. There was a lot of turning around. Everybody, no one was safe. Everyone was getting accused, especially if you were a woman.
Basically. And then the next one is something I had heard of before, so you guys might have heard of this as well, but witch marks. And so they would take suspected witches into the town square, and then they would strip them naked, and they would be examined for like moles or birthmarks or scars or even tattoos was mentioned in like the history.com section on this, which I thought was interesting because I doubt many people had tattoos in the 1600s. I don't even know when this is happening. And then so they would basically be rarely unsuccessful because, I mean, I have freckles all over my body, so I feel like most people have some sort of like one of those things going on. And then it was actually also said that these marks were immune to pain and wouldn't bleed, which is going to come, it's going to be important in the next test that they use. And then there was, they would also check for an extra nipple. And then this was said to be the nipple that the devil would drink from.
Hmm. Nice. Yeah.
So Harry Styles would be accused of being a witch at this time because he has, I think, four nipples. Fun fact.
Okay. And then Katie kind of alluded to this, but the next one is prickling and scratching tests. So prickling tests were when they couldn't find a witch's mark, which seems unusual. They would take needles and poke the witches all around to find a spot that didn't bleed or hurt. So they basically were like looking for like invisible witches' marks, I guess, because it was immune to pain. And then later on, these tests were carried out by con men who would just use dull needles because then like you wouldn't be hurting the accused witch. And of course, that would make everyone think that that person was a witch. And then scratching tests were when the victims of the accused witches would scratch the witch with their fingernails until they drew blood. That sounds pleasant. And if the victim's symptoms got better through, like, from the scratching, it was a sign that they were being affected. So I don't know what the logic is behind that, that, like, scratching the person that's hurting you is going to help you, but okay.
Yeah, I don't really understand most of these, to be honest with you. And then the last one that I'm going to talk about is incantations. And so this is when an accused witch would, like, say things to an alleged victim. They'd be like, the devil will leave you. I am, like, getting the devil away from you. Like, things like that. And then if the victim started to get better through the witch saying these things, then they would be found guilty. And like a lot of these things, these are really easy for victims to fake, you know, just like stop fake flailing around as this witch is saying these or as this woman is saying these things. And then they were found guilty and hanged.
Yeah.
You can tell it's a recurring theme.
So I don't know what the spooky part of it is. Like, is it that these people were actually possessed and witches, or is it that no one was safe and everyone could get killed for being a witch?
I mean, I think it's pretty crazy to think about, like, just the mass hysteria that was created yeah. around this, and just kind of like the mob mentality, and that nobody was safe and people will, like, come after you for no reason. Just thinking about that gives me the heebie-jeebies. So
yeah, that's the scary part to me. So that's all we have for you guys. We want to thank Larry and Justin so much for inviting us on their podcast and letting us do this segment.
Yeah, and then you can find us, Wizard Studies, anywhere you listen to podcasts, on the Apple Store, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. And then you can find us on Instagram and Facebook as Wizard Studies Podcast and Twitter as Wizard Studies.
Now back to Here's Johnny.
Here we are, the end of our first Blair Witch season episode. We have one more big announcement that I teased at the beginning, and then we're going to wrap things up. So, as Justin mentioned, he is finally somehow getting around to American Horror Story.
Yes.
And the new season starts in September. And Justin and I are talking about different ways we can kind of expand the podcast and do new things going into 2019 and beyond. And so we had the idea of recording about a 15-20 minute video review of each episode of the newest season of AHS. So look forward to that. That'll probably come out the Friday or Saturday following the episode drop, I think is our hope.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be the Saturday, just how we record and edit.
Yeah. I'm going to be trying my hand at video editing. I've never done it before. Hopefully it's smooth. We're gonna see how that goes. I want to do my best, give it the old college try. But that's more content coming for you guys, so hopefully you enjoy that. As always, guys, remember, if you like what you're hearing, if you like what you're listening to, go to iTunes, leave us a review, follow us on our social media, follow the people who we've had on the podcast as guests. Give them, everybody we've had on here, I definitely swear by. They're all great people and they all have great things to say about horror. And then the last big thing is next week will be our first true full episode of The Blair Witch, and it's our interview with Mike Minello.
Yeah, again, it was a really great interview. I cannot wait for you guys to hear it. Hopefully we didn't push him too much.
I pushed him a little bit. I will fully admit that. I'll say right now, sorry, Mike, I didn't mean to, but that's what happens. When you come on, and I want to know things that you know.
Yeah, I know, that's fair.
Anything else, Jay?
No, I mean, just look forward to everything, and, you know.
All right, guys, so that's the end of the episode. Thank you again for 1 year of podcasting love, and until next week, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at BeaverLA.
You can find Justin at PickleThing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at @HeresJohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/HeresJohnnyPodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers, so head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.